Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
I'm Piss Chisholm. I'm Piss Chisholm. I'm Piss Chisholm. I'm Piss Chisholm.
That's great.
I'm Piss Chisholm. I'm Piss Chisholm.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
That's great.
Yeah, ciao, Fudgebaggers. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam and Chiz.
And I'm Steve. And I gotta say, I'm very nervous today. My hands are sweating like a couple of leaky faucets.
Oh, no.
And that's not a euphemism.
Oh, why are you so nervous today?
I don't know. I feel the need for speed. The drug.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm feeling sluggish today. I need to, and my brain is foggy.
What constitutes a speed? I know speed is just an overarching term for a bunch of different pills, I think.
You know, I don't know. Boy, that's an interesting question to start the show off.
Isn't it?
I don't know. Ephedrine, right? Like, that's speed. I only know that because there was a girl that we knew in a city that we lived in who was, like, really into ephedrine. So
that's cool.
I think that's speed. Well, you know her, too. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, ephedrine. That sounds like a name that'll put you to sleep. That doesn't sound speedy at all.
Yeah, it sounds like something that you'd have to pay income tax on. That's a joke from before we started recording. You don't know. You don't know. Listeners, you don't know. They don't have taxes in Texas. They have tex.
Ass.
Tex ass.
Famously, Texas does not have income tax, and we talked about it a lot before show. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get into it. We wanted to get into speed. I'm still so nervous.
Well, uncross your arms. You got a very aggressive stance right now. You're standing in a B-boy stance. Your legs are shoulder width apart. You're slightly more than shoulder width. Your arms are crossed. Your hat is sideways.
My hat is kind of sideways. I should correct that. I guess what started this off was you texting me, look out for the big twist in this movie, before I started it. So I was just like darting my eyes at this film, trying to find the big twist. I thought the little girl was going to get hit by a bus. I thought it was all going to be a dream. I don't know. I'm very sweaty.
That's fair. Well, listeners, for the sake of truth and honesty, I'd like to point out that I did not text him, look out for the big twist in this movie. I said this movie drops a bombshell on the viewers. That's what I said. I didn't say there's a Shyamalan twist in it.
Every movie should start out with, like, black or maybe bloody text that says, look for the twist.
There's a twist coming at an hour 24. You go, can't wait.
I mean, I guess it's up to the movie to decide the font and the color and how much blood there's going to be, but, like, just do it.
But the blood amount is not between 1 and 10. It's between 5 and 10. So, like, there's always going to be some blood in the opening text. It's just not going to be, it might not be soaked in blood the way you maybe want it. The blood of Christ, of course.
The blood of Christ is yours to choose the amount.
Yeah, and the blood of Christ be with you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Chiz.
Merry Christmas, Chiz, to you. Are you starting to feel the Christmas spirit now that we're past Halloween?
Yes, yeah, now that it is November 10th, I am starting to feel the Christmas Chiz. And tomorrow, make sure to take a rest. And at 11 o'clock, just, you know, hold your tongue for a couple of seconds and remember the troops.
Do we in Haiti salute the troops on November 11th? Did
we
die on the fields of Gettysburg or wherever we celebrate?
We should die on the fields of Gettysburg, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you.
Listeners, when you're standing in line to buy your tickets to see Black Panther Wakanda Forever opening on November 11th, be sure to take a moment to remember the troops and who died so that we could have Marvel movies. And other reasons.
Hey, that's a good idea for tomorrow, is to go out and see a movie. That's a great idea. But my advice to you
actually,
while you're holding your
idea.
Ticket
yeah.
for Wakanda Forever is to burn it and then go home and watch our movie today, Wish for Christmas.
You're absolutely right. I got so caught up in your speed talk that I forgot to introduce what movie this is. 2016's Wish for Christmas. Not that they saw the title of the episode. They know what it is, but we should announce it so people aren't listening going, did they upload the wrong episode with the wrong title?
The wrong title, the wrong episode, the wrong life, the wrong religion.
Yeah, the wrong way down a one-way street.
Are you surprised
that
this movie was made in 2016?
Well, I'd love to hear why you're surprised that it was made in 2016.
I don't know. This feels more like a 2018 or a 2020 movie. I mean, Joey Lawrence is just so bronzed that I don't equate that with 2016.
Joey Lawrence has the tightest widow's peak and the most painted on eyebrows I've ever seen on a man in any movie ever, including movies about clowns.
And it works.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, he looks better as a sleazy businessman than he does good Christian dad.
Well, they were trying to balance both looks, and you just couldn't do it. You had to kind of marry the two.
Hey, before we talk any more about Joey Lawrence, we need to do the Pure Boys Prayer.
Yes.
God bless our podcast, please. God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please. Amen.
Amen. Thank goodness woman. We finally did it right, maybe.
We nailed it. Yeah, we nailed it. We're finally back in sync. It took 3 episodes to kind of get the gears going, but now we got the grease and we're good to go. A lot of G's.
Well, we took a week off because I had a cold. I want everybody to know to pray for me and my health.
Yeah, the truth of the matter. Yeah, that's why I didn't say anything about recording on November 1st or 2nd or anything like that.
Yeah, something stupid like that. No, we're right before the Day of the Troops, and it's because I was sick.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know what? And that's great, because I think the troops would appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. They would appreciate you taking time off to rest. That's what they fought for.
They fought for rest.
Yeah. They fought so that we can put our feet up and then make podcasts and make fun of them. That's why they did that.
The brutality of war is also fun. Like, being able to, like, shoot a man in his head and watch his lifeless eyes just, like, stare back at you.
To watch the life drain out of a man's face, or a child, or a woman, or a dog, whatever. War is hell.
And
it's legal. And you get paid for it. And you come back to the barracks, and everyone's like, bro, you shot the hell out of that guy today. And you're like, I'm going to be haunted forever by what I saw. But yes, camaraderie is great, and I love it.
And now we get a day off from work to celebrate it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I watched Top Gun Maverick recently, and like, I just kept texting people, war is fucking awesome. It's so awesome. Oh, my God. Oh my God, I want to be in war in a jet plane. Oh my God. Miles Teller.
That's exactly what I got from it too. That's all I could think. I could see the lights in people's eyes around me because they are alive and not in war.
Right.
And they were just loving it.
Yeah, the only thing I would change about that movie is take the villains' eye goggles off so that we can see their eyes, and that way when they're plane is blown up by Tom Cruise or whoever decides to blow the plane up, you can see the life leave their eyes. That's all I want.
My only wish for the movie was to like tear Tom Cruise's knees apart and put some bone splints in so he's taller already.
Oh, that would be sick. Why hasn't Tom Cruise gotten that tall man surgery? He deserves it.
I don't know. Put some extra bones in you.
You know, that's a weird surgery, though, because your arms don't get longer. So then you just have this weirdly proportioned body that has long legs and short little arms compared to your legs. You'd look goofy. You'd look like a silly goose. You look like a WWE creative wrestler or some nonsense like that.
Well, the answer I have to that is that your arms aren't longer yet.
Oh, right. Because they're not going to make your arms longer. They're just going to make your fingers longer.
Yeah, the finger longer.
Yeah. All they do is put an extra knuckle. They cut your nail off and they add an extra knuckle onto there. And then you just got an extra long finger.
4 knuckles.
Man. Oh, imagine all the finger you could do with 4 knuckle long fingers.
Do you usually curve your fingers while you're finger?
Yeah, that's how you make people squirt. Dummy, you gotta get your fingers in there. Yeah, there's inside.
Yeah, I love that. I stay there all day.
It's a little that you can just.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Chiz, everybody. But yeah, of course. Yeah, that's why I have such big triceps. It's for all the finger banging I do.
Yeah, the Jehovah.
Yeah. Classic. One of my favorite Christmas movies. Right up there with Wish for Christmas.
Oh, I love this movie. Hashtag Wish for Christmas.
Oh, hashtag not a lot of people responding to that hashtag on Twitter.
Well, Twitter was pretty big in 2016. It's going through a bit of a rough patch right now.
Mm-hmm. Although I did, I looked up that hashtag just to see what people are saying about it. And the answer was not like almost nothing related to the movie. Like it was all just people being like, my wish for Christmas is whatever, is a jet plane flown by Tom Cruise with long legs. But there was quite a few people who were like, my wish, hashtag wish for Christmas is for Trump to save America. It's like, well, I mean, they nailed it. They nailed their fan base. They knew exactly who they were doing this for, and it's perfect.
It worked. It worked exactly the way they wanted it to. Trump got into the White House. Thank God.
Oh, not a political podcast.
Yeah, but thank God.
Oh, but thank you, God. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hashtag wish for Christmas, please.
The shorts that I'm wearing have like a crotch rip in it, and oh. I don't remember until I sit down on leather.
Let's stand up. Let's see.
No.
Come on. Let me see that crotch rip.
You wouldn't see it if I stood up because it's under the crotch.
Yeah, I'm saying like, I'm saying stand up on your couch, then do a squat so I can see your crotch rip so I can get the Lenny Kravitz view.
Okay.
He's doing it. He's doing it. He's got a penis piercing just like Lenny Kravitz.
Have you ever seen brains like these before?
He showed me his batwing. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. What's a Christmas miracle?
I already love it.
I already love it. Yeah. Hey, speaking of showing each other our brains, I have a very important question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe the most important question I've ever asked on this show. Well, actually, probably the second most important question. And that, of course, is... Whomst was the Bagger Vance of the last movie that we watched, which is...
And of course that movie was...
Was...
Christmas Train.
Christmas Train. Trade. Christmas Trade. Whomst was the Bagger Vance of Christmas Trade?
Well, of course. The ooey. The gooey. Thirsty divorcee Mrs. Brewer. Because without her...
Right.
Do we even know that William Baldwin is a kid and the kid is William Baldwin? I don't think so. She is so thirsty and so lovely and is truly wanting to move to Texas.
Yeah.
Now, Adam,
yeah.
Whoops, do you think was the Bagger Vance of Christmas Tree?
Well, Steve, thank you so much for asking. As someone who is a mega fan of Christmas Trade and remembers the name anytime he's asked, to me, the Bagger Vance of Christmas Trade was, of course, Tom Arnold.
Who
was in it, for sure. And because he played a Santa Claus sort... And without him, the bear wouldn't have gotten a new sprocket, and they wouldn't have been able to fix the trade, the body swap, just in time for a 12-year-old boy to get a blowy from Denise Richards.
Salute the troops.
Salute the troops. Thank you, Tom Arnold, for your service. Thank you, Santa Claus, for your service.
We love you.
Hashtag we love you. And scene.
And scene. Good.
Great segment. Maybe our best Whomst was the Bagger Vance.
Whomst was the Bagger Vance.
Whomst was the Bagger Vance. The reason I struggled so much with that segment is because I was too busy thinking about the number one best question that we ask on the show, which I don't have music for, and I don't have a segment built around it yet, and I won't, I guess. But, Steve, it's just an important question that I need to get some answers to, and that is, can Christians eat pork?
Well, can Christians eat pork? What do you say? Can Christians eat pork? Who can delay this question?
Good question. Who can delay this question? That's the real question we should be asking.
It was a perfect rhyme. I had different lyrics to that song earlier.
What were they?
Well, it was can Christians eat pork?
Yep.
That's the question of the day. Can Christians eat pork? Who can say?
Oh, that's really good. Why didn't you sing that? That's really good. That's like, yeah, who can delay this question?
Yeah. who can delay this question, I think works, though.
But yeah,
or well, should I re-sing it?
You should re-sing it. Do the OG Original Men lyrics that you had written, but then add another stanza of King Christian DePork, who can delay, ... this question. Perfect.
I don't know if I could put that all in my head.
Well, okay, fair enough. You know, next week we'll
we'll figure.
Yeah, we're workshopping the theme song. We'll get it all sorted out. Don't you worry.
Maybe we'll do a back and forth, like get some choir.
Oh, a little call and response. I say potato, you say tomato.
You say potato.
Yeah. Oh, geez, we're not on the same page at all.
I like to double up the potato. Who says potato? I say potato, potato, potato.
That's a better song. Who says potato? I say potato. It's very like aggressive and threatening.
Who says potato? Like the devil would say.
Potato, potato.
He's just down there in hell singing potato, potato.
Yeah.
And nobody's any of the wiser.
I mean, I kind of don't hate a sequel to that, like whatever that initial song is called Who Says Potato. That's a pretty good, that's a good idea for a song.
That's call and response if I ever heard it.
Oh, yeah. Who says potato? Only friggin' donkey brains, that's who. Only a bunch of goofs.
Yeah. Bunch of earwolves.
Shout out earwolf.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, can Christians eat pork?
Yeah, I guess we got to get down to that.
All right, we answered it. Yeah, I guess.
Now, I did a lot of research in my brain. I thought, you know, scouring the internet was a good idea, but F that.
Yeah.
Like, we need to come up with this on our own. And I think these movies should really drive whether we find out if Christians can eat pork. And to my knowledge, I didn't see any pork eating during this movie.
We don't know what was on the pizza that the homeless Santa Claus was given.
There's two pizzas in this movie, and they both look terrible and old and cold and not good at all.
They look like 7-Eleven pizza.
Yeah, but worse.
Oh, yeah. And those pizzas are like the pizza that the family eats together. We're not going to get too deep into the movie now because we still have another segment and we're not done. Can Christians eat pork yet? But like the first pizza that the family eats together is only like somewhat cut. Like it's like they gave him a whole uncut pizza and then they, much like a birthday cake, cut slices out of it, which is like, that's madness. What? Go back to hell with that idea. We hate you for it.
Well, it's like the original idea was to have just like a piece of paper with a picture of a pizza on it. And that will get like worked out in editing.
Yeah.
And then they obviously found out that that didn't work. So they took a frozen pizza out of whatever place they were staying at and cooked it and didn't cut it properly.
I mean, didn't even cook it probably. Just threw it on there frozen and we're like, oh, you know what? This doesn't look like a pizza, though. We need to cut a slice out of it.
Yeah, we need to cut a slice out of it.
Yeah. From now on, though, I am going to, anytime I order a pizza, I'm just going to ask them, hey, can you please not cut the pizza for me? I'd like to cut it myself, slice by slice, like a maniac.
That's good. It saves them time and it gives you something to do.
And they don't have to clean their wheel.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, well, I mean, at this time of year, you bet it is.
God, I love God.
Oh my God, I love God too. Is it wrong to say, oh my God, I love God? Is that?
I don't think so.
It's like, I feel like they kind of cancel each other out. Like, yeah, you're taking the Lord's name in vain, kind of. Oh my God is like a naughty nish phrase. But then you're saying, oh my God, I love God. So it's kind of like it's a wash.
Yeah, it's almost as difficult as can Christians eat pork, but not quite.
Well, join us next week for our newest segment, is Oh My God, I Love God an okay phrase to say?
Oh,
I thought you were singing You're Unbelievable.
I is.
Oh! Hey, speaking of unbelievable, we got to get to everyone's favorite segment.
Great segment.
Thank you.
Kevin Sorbo, Tweet of the Week.
All right, Kevin, what do you got for us today? The tweet of the day came out at 12:20 p.m. right in the middle of his meatloaf sandwich.
What day?
November 4th, 2022.
Oh, this isn't
even a day of significance?
I don't think so, but it is way before the midterms, which I was really hoping you were going to have a midterm election tweet from Kevin. Something about the red wave or something like that. I was hoping for that. But what do you got?
He was being very political, and I got uncomfortable about it. Again, I'm very nervous today.
Fair enough.
Now, the tweet from Kevin Sorbo was thusly, I've noticed a lot of people don't seem to understand how free speech works.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I think this has all to do with Twitter.
Definitely.
Elon Musk, and him wishing that he bought Twitter instead.
Yeah, well... Sorry, I was just reading Kevin Sorbo tweets to see if I could find a juicy one about the midterms.
I knew you were just staring at your phone like, hey, I need to get a better tweet.
No. This was a perfect tweet because I don't remember what it was. Read it again for me, please. And I won't look at Kevin's Twitter this time.
You better chop and screw this so expertly that it makes me seem like a genius.
I can.
Now, the tweet of the day is that you don't remember... I've noticed a lot of people don't seem to understand how free speech works.
Yeah, okay. Well, good for you, Kevin.
Great for him. I think he's the ambassador for free speech, and we should all look to him for hope.
I can't think of someone who has freer speech than Kevin Sorbo.
Do you think his middle name is Kevin?
That's what I'm implying, yep.
Okay, I think it's God.
Ooh, Kevin God Sorbo.
Yeah.
What if his middle name was Gott?
Yeah, Kevin God Sorbo.
Kevin God Sorbo, yeah. And it's just
That's a good middle name.
Just a picture of him with, you know, a milk mustache.
It honestly should be everybody's middle name.
Right.
It just works with everybody.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of someone else, but I can't think of anyone. Steven God Spielberg. There it is.
Steve God Creep.
Who's Steve Creep?
Me.
Oh, is that your last name now?
Canonically, that's my last name.
Is
yeah,
it? Wow, I did Steve not. Creep. I didn't know that. What, do I have a canonical last know. Name?
I think it's Creep. We're brothers. We were both created in his image, and God said unto us, you are Adam Creep, and you are Steve Creep.
Well, you're Adam. You're Adam Got Creep, and you're Steve Got Creep.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, and yeah. All right, well, almost done with this segment. Boop. Yep. There it goes. Bye, Kev. Good. We'll see you next week. Bye, Kev.
Kevin!
What a great segment. What a beautiful man Kevin Sorbo is. He's got a new movie called Let There Be Light, and I can't wait to watch it on the show.
Oh, my God. There's a movie I can't wait to watch, but, oh, God, I just look at the poster every single day and want to lick it. It looks so delicious.
Well, yeah, it's on your wall.
Yeah, on my wall.
Yeah. I know you can get movie posters. Hey, did you know that you can buy movie posters?
Yeah, you could back in my day.
Yeah, pre-COVID day. Mm-hmm. Now the movie poster industry died a slow, painful death during that era.
That sucks.
Well, not for us. For them, yeah, for sure. But when was the last time you bought a movie poster? When was the last time you bought a movie poster? And what was it? Oof.
I'd have to say it was never. Or... It was 1994, the year of our Lord.
What was it? Was it The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps?
Probably Jurassic Park. Bark.
Oh, good. A Weird Al Yankovic parody.
Mm-hmm.
You get that from the San Francisco shop.
Yeah, it would have definitely been from San Francisco for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's the only place to buy posters. And then you'd go too far and see like the naughty lingerie ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Or the like. And you, when you were flipping through that one, you had to flip quick because you're like, I can't have anyone catch me looking at this one in this tiny little closet of a store.
Yeah, you'd tell your mama to look at the slinkies at the front of the store and then you would run to the back.
Oh, yeah.
Click, 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 click. Pause. Oh.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Cameron Diaz.
Ooh, keep flipping, buddy. There's got to be a Corvette in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a Corvette in there. Vroom, 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 vroom.
Why did posters
have audio on them?
That's an interesting advancement in poster technology. We should talk to the poster people if they still had an industry, but they don't, unfortunately.
It's dead. Yeah.
Dead. Dead in hell, yeah. The last poster I bought was, in fact, for The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I figured as much.
It was a great poster. Bought it used, hung it on my brick wall, and then the cold wrinkled it and wrecked it, and I had to throw it out. And I know. I was really bummed about it, actually. I was so sad to say goodbye to the clumps. I know.
Who was the model with the mole that nobody wanted her to have?
Sherman Klump, I think, was his name.
Yeah, that was the last poster I got. It was Sherman Klump with the mole.
The patriarch of the Klump family. Cindy Crawford, that's who that was.
Yeah. White t-shirt, skinny jeans.
Oh.
And I was only six.
Yep.
That's a song. That's a country song, right?
I mean, honestly, that those are actually very good lyrics for a country song.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk to Kevin Sorbo, see if he can reach out to any of his lovelies, and
white t-shirt.
We can get it.
White t-shirt, skinny jeans. I was only six. It sounds like
very horny.
Yeah, it's a very horny song, and also feels like it's going to go in a very inappropriate direction. Like,
yeah, maybe. Maybe it's a lovely song about a boy getting to meet his dream girl, and then she falls in love with him and they get married.
And then he gets his brain swapped into the body of an adult, and she goes, you know what? This is fine.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the kid.
Okay. Fair enough. He has the mind of a 34-year-old, so that's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Intellectual relationships are the best ones.
And she'll happily wait, you know, whatever, at 12 years for him to become legal sex age. She's fine with that.
Yeah, that's where the phrase legal eagle came from.
That's where the phrase legal sex age came from.
Oh, the bots are going to love this one.
Well, let them.
They got to have fun, too.
Yeah, what are we going to get, a copyright strike for Personal Jesus? We've literally never gotten one. Get at us, Depeche Mode. We've never gotten a copyright strike for that song. Plenty of other songs we played on the show have gotten us, but not that one. That one's a freebie.
And you've definitely said Depeche Mode before.
Oh, definitely. I'll say it again. Depeche Mode.
Which is the key word here.
Yes, that's what the bots are going to grab. Hey, let's go, let's God. It's time to talk about Wish for Christmas.
Please.
Please, please wish for Christmas.
Sorry, you gotta stop touching my ear.
Yeah, you do. You have COVID.
I had COVID.
Did you actually? Is that why we couldn't record last week?
No, I didn't have COVID.
Oh, you had the other respiratory illness that's going around right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Dope jizz.
Hey, you know what the first surprise of this movie is? The first twist, I guess?
The opening title card?
The Universal film, the Universal logo, yep. I couldn't believe when I heard, bah, 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 and I went, wait, what? What? Is this a real movie? Yeah.
I was very groggily starting this movie because it was in the wee hours of the morning.
Uh-huh, 10 o'clock and your time.
Exactly, and I'm getting set for another crappy Christian movie. And
boo, bad take.
All of a sudden there's ba ba ba, and I'm like, well, this is a mistake. I definitely turned on the wrong movie or the wrong streaming service. But Universal backed this, and along with Mustard Seed Entertainment, I believe.
Yeah, that's when I knew I was watching a Christian movie, is when after the professional logos came up, Universal and then PureFlix, obviously, because they bought the rights to this movie, I would assume. Then the first thing we see once the movie starts is Mustard Seed Entertainment. And I went, oh, there it is. All right. Yep. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like PureFlix and Mustard Seed hit a slam dunk because they made a movie so good that Universal had to have it.
That's true. That's a really good point that they were like, we need this for our faith division.
Well, Joey Lawrence, that's all you need.
And the director of Switched. Well, future director of Switched.
Really?
Yeah. Same guy.
He has a type, because this is basically a Switched movie.
It is, actually. Weirdly enough, it is a Switched movie. It's parents that are switched with non-religious parents.
Yeah, it follows the exact same beats throughout the whole movie. It's very formulaic, and it's basically a Switched movie.
Oh my god, yeah, that's blowing my mind right now. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is just a Switched movie. Wow, we watched two Christmas Switched movies. What a special treat.
It is a special treat. There's also, a Santa Claus figure that you don't know if he's Santa Claus, similar to Gus?
Well, no, you know he's a homeless man who sleeps on a bench in a Santa Claus outfit. You know that. That's shown in the movie. You know that for a fact.
Why would you sleep on that bench? It has no cover or, like, environmental protection whatsoever. Doesn't look comfortable. Find a box.
Yeah, also, the town would not allow that. They would have put murder spikes on that bench so you couldn't lay on it, dummy. We don't want homeless people, you know, cruddying up our benches. It's Christmas season. Go to the gutter. Get out of here. Out of sight, out of mind.
Benches should definitely have murder spikes on them.
They do in most places. They don't want kids skateboarding on them, grinding on them, and they don't want homeless people sleeping on them.
Well, they definitely don't want grinding.
No.
Do you think he gets some on that bench?
Just out in the middle of town square? I hope so.
Oh, it's his bed.
That's true. Yeah, he's getting topped off there, and people walk by with their kids. He goes, please, some privacy. I'm in bed right now. I'm in my bed.
It's my house, yeah.
Yeah. God, that's... Like, why wouldn't you sleep in, like, why wouldn't you sleep in an alley or, like, somewhere where you have some protection from the elements? If you are homeless, be smarter about it.
Go anywhere. Go over a sewer vent. Go live under somebody's porch.
Yeah, don't go live in Boston or wherever this movie is set. They mentioned Boston, and the whole movie was filmed in Massachusetts, but, like... What, they're not in Boston. They're in like some podunk little town, I guess.
No, they're definitely in some place that's in between Boston and Los Angeles. There's yeah. No snow on the ground.
Vegas.
It looks warm as hell.
Yeah, where are they? They are not in Massachusetts. Or if they were, they were not filming at Christmas time.
No, definitely not. They're all sweating when they have anything heavier than a t-shirt on.
And they're all...
So I don't know where they are. Probably hell.
Yeah, they're all wearing Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops. And they're like, oh, this Boston weather's so chilly.
It's very chilly. Yeah, they mention that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. Hey, who plays that homeless Santa Claus?
Oh, my God. I was so excited when his name came up on the credits because it's... Just let these comedians wash over me, and it is Mr. Bill Ingvall.
Oh, they got Bill.
Well, he's like the Leonardo of the Southern comedians, right?
Oh, the blue-collar comedy tour?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, that's a really great... Yeah, okay, that'll be a fun game. All right, so Bill Engvall's the Leonardo, obviously.
Obviously.
Ron White is the Raphael, obviously. He's the angriest out of them. Yeah.
Very good.
Larry the Cable Guy, Michelangelo, of course.
Perfect.
And Jeff Foxworthy, Donatello, the big friggin' nerd.
With the glasses and
everything? Yeah.
Yeah.
He does machines.
It was a great game, and it also worked flawlessly.
It really did. Wow, that's kind of incredible how easily they fit into those archetypes. It's almost as if those are universal archetypes that you could put anything in. The Scooby-Doo gang, It's Always Sunny, all the different... Well, not It's Always Sunny, they're a bit different, but all the different archetypes...
But then you just combine characters to fit it into your archetypes, which is what archetypes are for.
That's true. Yeah. Beautiful. Hey, that was fun. good segment.
That was a really good time. I think Larry the Cable Guy is Michelangelo. He eats a lot of pizza. He says yuckety things, and he doesn't really contribute to the whole.
Yeah, he's got a joke called poop lasagna.
That's good.
Do you know what poop lasagna is? I can tell it. I can explain it to you. I can ruin his bit.
Explain it to me, please.
Sure. So, okay. So you take a poop and then your toilet's not working properly. So you put your toilet paper in, but then you have to poop on top of that toilet paper later and you put more toilet paper and then you poop on that toilet paper and put more toilet paper on top of that. And now you got a poop lasagna.
Oh, that's cool. I see those a lot at like malls.
Yeah. I'm a custodian now and I see that a lot and I love it.
You see that a lot?
Oh, all the time.
Thing too.
Every night, yeah. It's poop lasagna all the way down.
Well, poop lasagna to you,
and poop lasagna to you. God, Bill Engvall, what a treat to have Bill Engvall in your movie and have him say nothing funny. What a delight.
He is more there for his charisma, I feel, than his jokes. He really doesn't get a platform to tell any funny things.
No, he's a sad, homeless Santa Claus.
And he looks too homeless. Like, everybody else is very
sexy,
makeuped and proper and clean.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, he's filling out that role a little too much. I wonder if he did his taxes.
His tax? As Beautiful. Beautiful. At least Madea knew how to use a blue collar comedy guy.
Very true. I felt like they used him for what they wanted. They wanted somebody to relate to this little girl, and he's basically a little girl.
That's true. And at no point did he go, "Here's your sign," which I was very disappointed. I really thought that, like, when Anna's the main character, when she realizes she needs to, like, let God into her heart, he would give her a Bible and go, "Well, here's your sign." She's like, "Oh, I'm waiting for a sign," and he goes, "Well, here's your sign," and she goes, "Oh, you should take that on the road."
Blue collar comedy tour.
Wow, you're like a blue collar comedy man.
Do you know three other guys that have similar views to you but are slightly askew?
Have you ever heard of poop lasagna?
Not to take it back to poop lasagna, but, like, how long is this bit?
Oh, I mean, it's a whole album. He's got an album called Poop Lasagna where he breaks down the layers in detail.
Okay, that's good. That's meta.
Yeah.
That's what the kids want.
It's a double album. I was shocked to find that out. I thought it was just going to be like an EP or something, but no, it's 2.5 hours long.
I think we've talked about this before, but every time you hear EP, do you think eat pee?
We have talked about this before, and of course the answer is yes.
It boggles my mind that people aren't laughing when they say EP.
Okay.
It sounds like eat pee. They say it so serious.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
Eat pee, go home.
Well, music.
I hate music. I have a little bit of bad news, though. We aren't going to be able to, like, do a whole run of blue collar comedy tour people in Christian movies, because Jeff Foxworthy doesn't have any, like, Christmas movies, and
renounced religion too.
Did he? That would be crazy if that was the case.
I don't think so. He's full bore Mormon.
And Ronald White, I don't think, has any Christmas movies either. So unfortunately, we can't do a blue. I mean, damn. Maybe we'll have to just do, like, a blue collar month. That would be fun.
Well, they could star in our Christian movie that we're writing.
I mean, Larry the Cable Guy is in Jingle All the Way 2, so...
Yeah, but he's been done. We've seen him.
That's true, but we haven't seen Santino Marella, who is also in Jingle All the Way 2. And I think Paige from wrestling is in that? There's a lot of wrestlers. It's a WWE movie.
Who's in Jingle All the Way 1?
Sinbad.
And?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay,
and so Jake Lloyd, Anakin Skywalker from The Phantom Menace. He's the kid in it.
I'm the dead comedian.
Mm-hmm, yeah, of course. Mini-Me is in it. Vern Troyer plays Santa Claus in the big Santa Claus brawl.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool, yeah. It's a fine movie. It's not great, but it's fine.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way 2. You vamp for like 20 minutes. I'm going to look it up.
How about this? Jingle All the Way 2, the bank. Am I right? Cha-ching, Larry the Cable Guy. Cha-ching.
That's good. That's good elevator pitch fodder.
That's all they had to do. They walked into Larry the Cable Guy's house and they went, "Larry, you've heard of Jingle All the Way, but what about Jingle All the Way 2, the bank? Cha-cha-cha-ching."
And then they, you know, sign the checks and do all the legal work and, you know, pens.
They listen to Cha-ching by Headley.
Who's that?
A disgraced Canadian rock band.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the lead singer was like sexually assaulting minors. Yeah. He was doing pretty horrible things. So
yeah, very horrible.
Yeah, he's a real piece of shit. So good for him. Yeah. Anyway, do I have to do any more vamping? Did you find the information you were looking for?
No. I was just looking up Jingle All the Way 2 and making sure it actually existed, because it sounded like something you made up in your mind.
It sounded like I was having a fever dream when I went, "Larry the Cable Guy and Santino Marella and Paige all in this movie."
Like, Jingle All the Way 1 came out at what, like 95, 97?
Probably 2000, 2001, because it was after The Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay.
Which came out in 1999.
Never mind, then my whole thing is dumb.
Well, no, let's play it to the bone.
Okay, let's play it to the bone.
All right.
Which is a great movie, which we should watch for our second movie in the new year.
I guess. I've never seen it. I don't know what it is.
It's really good. Antonio Banderas and Woody Harrelson play boxers of a love of one woman.
I was really hoping it was going to be Antonio Banderas and Woody Allen play boxers.
And he just beats the crap out of Woody Allen. Just to a pulp.
Oh, you're hurting me, Antonio.
This is really to the bone.
Oh, you really played me to the bone, Antonio.
Credits. And then everybody cheers and he pays their $20.
Of course. The movie opens with them walking into the ring and Antonio just beating the living hell out of Woody Allen. Ooh. Yeah. I hope my sins don't catch up with me. Ooh.
The sins of my father.
Oh, the sins of my past. Ooh.
Yeah, you know, Woody Allen Potter.
Yeah. He really played it to the bone.
Jingle All the Way 1 came out in 1996.
What?
Yeah.
I am shook by that information.
And then they made a sequel with Larry the Cable Guy in 2014.
Yeah. So
all the way to the bank.
They couldn't wait two more years and do it on the 20th anniversary. They had to rush it. Chumps.
20 years.
18 years. Well, they had to wait till they could have sex with the first movie. And they're like, okay, perfect. It's been 18 years. Let's go for it.
It probably filmed it while Larry the Cable Guy wasn't a big name and then just had to hold and release it in 2016.
Yeah, they filmed it in 1996 before he was a big name. And they
went, a half. Yeah.
One day this guy's going to blow up.
Yeah, he's going to blow him all over the place.
One day this guy is going to invent an item called poop lasagna and it's going to take the world by storm.
Double album.
Oh, yeah. Is Jeff Foxworthy, like, are Jeff Foxworthy and Ron White in movies? I don't even know.
I feel like Ron White used to try to be in movies, but now he's just become an old hippie.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, obviously they're in Blue Collar Comedy Tour, the movie. I'm sure that that exists, that there's a big concert film of them doing
the Christmas movie.
Yeah, their Christmas tour that they did.
Well, Ron White was in Horrible Bosses, the original.
I don't know what that means.
So that was a Christian.
Horrible Bosses, the original.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a movie.
Well, yeah, I know. It's also
Jake
a concept.
Jake Sudeikis. Yeah.
All right. Well, I haven't seen it. And I don't know. I couldn't name you any other Jake Sudeikis movies.
Have you even seen anything?
No, I've seen Wish for Christmas 2016, the same year that the friggin' whatever came out.
How excited were you that there was a Christmas ball and a Christmas party that they all had to work towards?
That these 30-year-olds going to high school had to work towards?
The first scene is so confusing because I don't know who the parent, who the child is. I thought the mom was like a grandmother and the teenager and the main guy were a couple.
I mean, yeah, it was a very weird mix of ages. And I don't know.
Genders,
yeah. And all stars and stripes were represented. But the movie opens with people in church texting each other, being like, oh my God, I found the perfect dress. And I was like, oh, somebody's getting married. And then they're like, yeah, I can't wait for the winter ball. And I'm like, oh, you're like 17? Ooh, girl, you're twice as old as that in real life. I don't think you can play that young. Oh no. And like Colton, her boyfriend, that guy has a mortgage. Like, that guy's so old.
Yeah, and in this economy, you have to be like 40 to have any sort of mortgage that's liquid.
Yeah, that's thickwid.
But her boyfriend also likes science, which I thought was a huge turnoff for a Christian movie.
Well, he likes Christian science, where he learns about science and then finds a way to connect it to God, even if it's really roundabout and doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's like a grilled cheese and jelly sandwich. It just doesn't fit.
Oh, that actually sounds kind of good, but...
What kind of jelly, though?
Grape, always.
Yeah, but with cheese?
Any other jelly is a waste of time. Yeah, you've eaten a charcuterie board before. You've taken a little wedge of cheese and a grape and put it in your mouth at the same time. That's delicious.
Yeah, a little bit of like a hard cheddar and a like an apple,
oh
like a slice of apple.
You're giving me a hard cheddar.
We should compare charcuterie someday.
Sure, I have one every Christmas. That's my Christmas meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, geez, what is there to say about this movie? Family super religious, The daughter's annoyed by it because she's the most selfish, self-centered person in the movie. And never, even though people tell her it to her face, never learns that lesson and never is not the most selfish, self-centered person. Even in the end, when she's a good Christian girl, still being selfish and self-centered.
I hope she finds God. She's a real piece of crap during this whole movie to her friends, her parents. She even wishes her parents' religion away.
And it works.
Yeah, well, she's Jesus, so of course it
works. Like, does it? I don't understand why it works. It's just kind of like, she just jumps into bed and goes, I wish my parents weren't religious. And then the next morning wakes up, oh God, that thing I said in jest has come true. My parents aren't religious anymore. Oh no.
Well, is it because she puts a can in the change pile?
Yep.
Or does that happen after?
I think that happens before. Yeah. But yeah, it's she doesn't. Bill Engvall is collecting money because he's homeless, and she gives him a can, and he says, and like, it's so rude. She sees what he's doing, goes like, ah, here's my empty, and he goes, what? This is garbage. She goes, it's 5 cents, and he goes, fuck you. And then the end credits.
Word for word, that's exactly what happens in the scene, and then Engvall gets so upset that he prays to God and makes God get her wish to come true.
Well, he says, please. He says, I hope, God, please let this woman's wish come true, please. Please let this 30-year-old woman have her wish come true, please.
There really should have been a concurrent scene where they're both on a screen and it's just cut in half and it shows big Bill Engvall praying to God and saying please, and her wishing that her parents' religion would go away, and that would make sense.
Did you say Bing Engvall?
Classic Bing Engvall. He's such a corporate slave sometimes. That's why I don't really follow him too closely.
I mean, I don't blame him. They backed a dump truck up to his house full of money and said, look, just change your name to Bing Engvall to promote Bing, please.
He said yes, signed all the papers, then he realized that these were Bing bucks and didn't have any actual value.
Oh, I got so many Bing bucks coming out of my Yahoo!
That's a double negative.
Yeah, that was pretty good, though. I pulled another search engine out of my Yahoo.
This is going to go down in the history books as the search engine episode.
Oh yeah, people are going to be, when they're searching for episodes, they're going to go, we want the one that talks about poop lasagna and Bing and Yahoo. That's the one we want.
They didn't say Alta Vista.
Well,
yet.
They have. What was the movie? Wish for Christmas.
Ask.com.
Yeah, they got this stupid winter ball that they're all excited for, and like, what is the winter ball? Because it looks like it's the high school dance, the Christmas chiz dance. But then we go to the winter ball at the end, and it's just filled with old people. Like, and not just old people playing teenagers. I mean, literal elderly people. What is the Christmas ball?
Well, I think it's a community ball, of course.
I guess.
Because, like, Joey Lawrence and his wife, who shall remain nameless.
Yeah, Mom.
Are excited to go, but unfortunately, the Christmas ball has been switched to Christmas Eve when they go to church.
Oh no, what will we do?
Well, it's a classic, conflict of interest, and they treat it very litigiously, and, I mean, they're both lawyers. The parents, Joy Lawrence and his wife, are lawyers,
yeah.
And they're very lawyery, and yeah. They say lawyery stuff all the time. William Baldwin was a lawyer too, right?
He was a lawyer. Oh my God. This is just Christmas trade with just a different veneer on it.
Yeah, the veneer has been smeared.
Yes. Oh, the smear.
My favorite character that is caught in between all of this hullabaloo,
yeah,
is Rebecca, the secretary.
Rebecca, yeah, she's the secretary for the parents. This movie does a great, we'll come back to Rebecca in a second, but the great thing about this movie is that it's like the kind of Christian propaganda where like the family is good and they're really good people. They're a light of the community. The mom literally gives Rebecca the coat off her back because she's a little chilly when they plug in their Christmas lights, and then go, goes, you know what? Keep my jacket. And she's like, why? I'm cold now. I have a jacket. I don't need your jacket. But, and then as soon as their religion gets wished away, they just become monsters. They just become the most horrible people. It can't imagine a world where people are nice for reasons other than God. So I love that about this movie.
Yeah, they completely switch in an instant to... exactly, it's a switch. They completely switch to people who love money,
yep.
Hate their neighbors,
yep.
And at all costs want to dote on their child and think about money and their phones.
And weirdly enough, they don't, like, Joey Lawrence doesn't covet his neighbor's wife or anything like that. Like, they kind of go against some of the commandments, but, like, they should have done a complete flip of them where now the parents are stealing, they're murdering, they're taking God's name in vain. They've just become monsters.
Go against the commandments. Like, that morning she comes downstairs, Joey Lawrence should be effing the neighbor on the dining room table, and the wife should be eating a pound of cheese.
Beautiful. Yeah, hard cheddar.
Yeah, apples, the whole thing.
Beautiful. Yeah.
The whole moral compass is so dumb, because just because you're not religious doesn't mean that you hate people.
Wrong.
And can't lend things to other people.
Wrong. That is what it means. That's,
oh, yeah, you're right.
The only people that do nice things are Christians. Everyone else is a piece of shit.
Yeah, they're only out there for themselves. What kind of moral compass could they possibly have if they don't have God in their lives?
Their moral compass points towards buying a brand new Corvette. That's where their moral compass points.
Or a Mini Cooper that's also a convertible. Like, go with that one.
Right? Yeah, don't go with the Corvette with heated leather seats. Leather seats are trash. Why would anyone
want
that?
Yeah, but it's got power everything.
Well, it does have power everything. I do love that Joey Lawrence is like, power everything. I like that. Yeah, man, it's a Corvette. It's not going to have, like, manual windows. It's a Corvette. A new Corvette.
I just imagine them saying cut and the director going over and whispering in Joey Lawrence's ear, hey, say it has power everything.
Hey, I got this great script for a movie called Switched. Do you think we could just, like, rewrite some of it and turn it into this movie?
Switched.
I love the idea of going to buy a brand new Corvette and going, like, now don't try to upgrade me with your power windows and all that. I want the base model Corvette. Nothing fancy. I just want a Corvette, but I don't want to pay for tilt and cruise and any of that crap. You're not going to upsell me on anything.
Sir, this is a bare bones used car lot. We don't have options.
The only option we have is heated leather seats in this brand new 2016 Corvette.
Beautiful. It's got power everything.
It's got a backup camera. Like, why? Why would a Corvette have a backup camera?
Well, so you can see who you're running over.
Or you can see who you've run over.
My wife.
Is not given a name in this movie.
Nope.
Yeah, so they're just pieces of trash after that. Good for them.
Yeah, and them being pieces of trash makes the daughter realize that she's religious.
Well, and also it leads to Rebecca, their receptionist, getting fired because she wants to follow the Ten Commandments and they want to follow the Ten Crack Commandments or whatever the hell their new thing is.
Well, Rebecca does suck. Like,
oh, yeah.
In one day, she rear-ended somebody and then also sent legal documents to the opposition in a court case.
Yeah, that's true. She's a single mom who's bumbling her way through life. And, like, she is, like, taking advantage of these people's kindness. Unintentionally, probably, but still taking advantage of it.
Which is keeping her in this path of life that is holding her back from being her true artist self.
That's true. Yeah, once she gets fired, she really leans into her art and then becomes, well, no, I don't, we don't know what happens to her. She has an interview to be the director of an art gallery.
Yeah, she probably, like, rear-ended the interviewer and, like, didn't get the job or something.
Mm-hmm. Definitely did that. Yeah, went to the interview and had toilet paper stuck to her shoe.
It also kind of says that religion is bad because it held her from being her true self.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird messages in this movie. Like, Yeah, like, and like Anna, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, that like she's a selfish, terrible person the whole movie, and then finds God and then just shoves it down everyone's throat. And we're supposed to cheer for her, I guess, when it's just like, well, you've basically joined an MLM and now you won't shut up about it.
But MLMs equal money or religion.
Yeah, must love money. That's what it stands for.
Must love monkeys.
Hey, oh my God, we haven't even talked about like the unbelievable revelation in this movie. I can't believe we're almost an hour into this episode and we haven't talked about the bombshell that the priest drops on everyone.
Revelation.
Hey, I love it.
Now, did you ever hear of this before?
I mean, I grew up in the church. I grew up going to a Catholic church and know the nativity story inside and out. And, real quick aside, I love when she's talking to the priest and she's like, you know, the lamb was always my favorite part of the nativity. And he goes, yeah, mine was the baby Jesus. It's like, all right, bro.
Yeah, but mine was the baby Jesus. All right. Like, very matter-of-factly.
Calm down. Like, all right, bro, we get it. You're a priest. Good for you. You can like the lamb as that can, the donkey can be your favorite. It doesn't have to be the baby Jesus.
And, like, the lamb is probably the Holy Spirit. It's gotta be,
yeah. Well, I mean, the big fart that Mary lets out as she gives birth to Jesus is the Holy Spirit, I think. If I remember the Bible correctly, I think that's what it says in there.
Well, I think that's when the soul transfers from the lamb to the baby Jesus.
Yeah, right, because Jesus' soul was in that lamb.
Yeah, as the Holy Ghost.
Of course, amen. And crazy enough,
I've heard that story so many times in my life. Yeah. I've heard the birth of Jesus, so lovely, so without blood, and
yeah, beautiful, swaddled.
But I've never heard of ages.
Oh, yeah, the fact that the priest just casually is talking to her about the Virgin Mary, which the fact that she's called the Virgin. Okay, we need to get something out of the way right here. The revelation that the priest drops on us is that Mary is 13 years old when all this goes down. 13.
And nobody blinks an eye. Anna doesn't bat an eye.
Rebecca doesn't either.
Probably is there in the background doing something.
She's like, well, she's making a painting of the Virgin Mary. And she goes, can I borrow like one of your daughters so I can get the face right of a 13-year-old girl that God dumped his spum in? Come on.
Like, wasn't Mary a prostitute?
No, that's Mary Magdalene. That's the other Mary.
Oh, that's a different Mary.
Yeah. But like,
thank God.
Oh my God, for real. She was 13 and married.
Yeah. And that's supposed to like get Anna to like think of Mary in a new positive light or like a new affectionate light.
Yeah.
And he's like describing terrible things. And how like her cousin is that age right now. And no, like stop saying any of this. This is very uncomfortable for me.
Like her cousin, his daughter is 13. And he's like, oh, imagine my daughter getting knocked up by the Lord. Imagine my daughter married now. But these stupid Democrats laws getting in our way. You can't marry 13-year-olds and get them knocked up with maybe the next future savior.
Wow. A miracle could take years, so.
That's true, yeah. Or 9 months.
It was just disgusting. I felt very gross listening to it. I felt gross that this was supposed to be, like, a positive, like, lesson learning story. And I, like, at no point does he say that this was, like, utterly atrocious and wrong.
Yeah.
Or, like, just, like, make up that she was 17 and a half or something.
Well, and the fact that Christians, like that society, that group of people refer to her as the Virgin Mary when it's like, yeah, probably she's 13. I kind of hope she was a virgin then. I mean, fingers crossed, but I don't know. Did she always stay a virgin? I guess so. It's insane looking at depictions of it now and being like, oh, this person that they've depicted as a grown woman is 13 years old. That's pretty cool.
Tough stuff.
Yeah, tough stuff. What a bombshell. Thank you, God.
Well, the baby Jesus is my favorite.
Oh, well, all right, fine. Mine's the donkey.
Oh, cool.
Mine are the three wise men that show up. No wise women, wise men. Get it right.
Yeah, well, you can't traverse the desert if you're a woman. You get too much sand in your cooter.
Of course, yeah, especially if you're 13. God, right on the back of a donkey.
Yeah, break your hymen.
Jesus. So she was 46 when Jesus was crucified. Wild.
Yeah, still trying to figure out who she was as a person.
Yeah, Jesus was crucified, and then she went through menopause.
That's where that started. The whole plot of the... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really cool, yeah.
I love this priest because I'm pretty sure he's an actual priest. Probably funded this movie.
Maybe.
And was just so weird and awkward in his lessons throughout the whole thing.
I love that every time Anna speaks to him, it's because she has a problem she needs his help to solve. And every time she goes up to him and just immediately is like, I have a problem. He goes, oh, I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. Life is good. Thank you so much. Like, he calls her out every time. And never does she, like, I thought at the end of the movie she was going to approach him and be like, how you doing today, Uncle Frank or whatever his name is. Nope, never does that. Never learns a lesson. Beautiful.
Yeah, just like slap him on the butt and say, hey, how are you doing today? That would have been a cute, like, lesson learned ending to
yeah.
this movie.
Instead of being like, I'm going to buy this homeless man pizza and then eat it with him, even though, like, he's probably starving and I should just let him have the whole pizza so he can eat some of it later. But no, I'll eat a few slices of this absolute trash pizza and I'll give a speech at the ball that ruins the ball. And I tell everyone to go to church instead of having fun at the ball.
A cute, like, liberal bullcrap title for this movie could have been Crap Pizza.
Yeah. Or
Trash Pizza.
Or, like, One Bossy Bitch.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I like Trash Pizza as well. And if the poster of it is just Bill and her holding up pizza that just looks disgusting and has, like, no toppings. It is frozen pizza. It's 100% frozen pizza. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that has been chilled, so the cheese looks like plastic. You know that, like, when it just, like, sits there forever under a heat lamp and then gets cool?
Mm-hmm. And then they take a bite and go, this is really good pizza. You go, prove it. Prove to me that it is. I don't believe you.
Towards the end of the movie, they're having another interaction. She's trying to ask the priest, like, how she gets religion back into her parents. And he gives her some bullcrap explanation, and then she goes, I don't have time for that. And immediately, you gotta have time for that.
Yeah, you gotta have time for it. The dance is tomorrow.
It's one of those, like, script things that, like, should have been fleshed out a little bit when they actually, like, spoke. Like, oh, this isn't how people speak. But, yeah, they went for it.
And I love that her making time for it is going to just, like, at, like, a table outside somewhere, and then just, like, reading 700 pages of her Bible in an afternoon from the looks of it, and then going, like, good, I'll leave this for my parents to read. And they don't read it. Spoiler alert, they don't care. It does nothing to them.
Yeah, you gotta have time for that.
Well, they don't. They have lawyer stuff to do. They have the bank is foreclosing on houses, and they have to help them.
I wish at one point they would have yelled at her and said, I have lawyer stuff to do.
I love that Anna is so confused as to what to do when, like, you made a wish, it came true. Why wouldn't your first thing to do be make another wish?
She doesn't bring up the wish at all throughout the whole movie. It's like she completely forgot she made that.
No, she tries to bring it up several times, but people instead tell her that she's being selfish and making this all about her and that she should shut her stupid mouth. Like, literally, every time she tries to bring it up, people are like, I can't believe you're trying to make this situation about you. You're a horrible person, Anna. And she goes, well, you're right. Yeah, I have no rebuttal.
It was during those scenes when they were really piling on her that I thought she was going to wake up at some point and this was going to be all a dream. Because it's like when people are yelling at her and they focus on that person, it seems like a dream sequence.
Yeah, the way Colton's jacket is always kind of falling off his shoulders. He just can't do his jacket. He's got to show off his pecs. It feels very dream logic. Why wouldn't he do up his jacket? That doesn't make sense. It's winter in Boston.
Yeah, he wears a lot of different things under that jacket, but if he's in the scene, he's for sure wearing that jacket.
Yeah, and his pecs are out, and you can see them on display because he's 45 years old, and he's got the body of a dad.
And they took marker and drew on pecs over whatever shirt he was wearing.
And luckily, actually it doesn't work, but she tries to, like, do a begging prayer to have God give religion back to her parents, but it doesn't work because she doesn't say please enough, I guess.
Yeah. Say please, idiot.
Yeah. Well, she does say please, but she doesn't say it enough, I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but then we get to the winter ball, and Long Live Logos is playing at it, I guess. Yeah.
It's just a classroom in a high school that they decorated to look like a prom,
I guess. And it... kind of like Anna's on like she's trying to get on the planning committee for this prom or for this winter ball. Her and her friends, who all hate each other, are trying to get their idea chosen to be the theme of the ball, but it's like 2 days before the ball and they're just doing tryouts for ideas. Like it feels very Medea Christmas, where they're just like, oh, it's 1 day before Christmas and we don't have any money to put on the Christmas event. Like, why wouldn't you be doing this a month ago?
Well, there's got to be an event at the end, and there's got to be something that drives you towards that event, and you have to have something for the best friends to do. Mm-hmm. So why not come up with a theme that doesn't really work and kind of sucks?
Well, Anna comes up with the theme, which is royalty. So they go and spend their own money buying all the props and stuff for the presentation. Not for the ball, just to show what royalty could look like, as if they couldn't imagine it. The people were like, what does a king look like? I don't know. I don't like this.
Yeah, just put a PowerPoint together.
Yeah, just print off a picture of a king and hold it up and go, this is what we're doing.
And do it on November 10th, not December 22nd. Yeah. 22.
But I love that Anna has learned her lesson and is all about God. And so, like, she shows up for the presentation to try to get on this committee. And she goes, guys, we need to change our theme. And they go, what do you mean? She goes, this theme is not going to work. And they go, well, this was your idea. And she goes, yeah, but the theme for the winter ball should be Jesus. And they go, fuck you, we're doing the king thing. And they just go, and then they get it. Like they do the king, the royalty presentation, and the committee goes, that was the best idea we've had in 5 years. That was so much better than a bullshit Jesus theme or something nonsensical like that.
Yeah, it's the best theme they ever had. They finally get to have fun at the Christmas ball. Everybody that was local used to hate this thing.
Yeah, because it was always about Jesus before, and they were like, why don't we do something fun instead of everyone in robes and dressed like lambs and stuff? Why do we have all these 13-year-old girls here? Why don't we have like adults at this prom? Why don't we have like the oldest adults we can find at this prom?
Which they do.
Yes, they do.
And they're all pregnant.
Oh yeah.
That should have been the twist of this movie, is that everybody at the party is pregnant.
It would have been amazing if Anna was pregnant.
Yeah, this whole time.
Or she just finds out at the ball or something like that. She's like, I'm trying to get into this dress, but it's a little tight around the midsection.
Yeah, her boyfriend put a little stardust in her, if you know what I mean.
Well, he's not her boyfriend anymore. He's dating some other girl. He moves on very quickly from her.
Yeah, well, he's the cream of the crop. He's the best there is.
Yeah. All these girls have daddy issues, and he's 38 years old, and they love him for it.
Those pecs, those drawn on pecs on his face.
Get out of here.
That's a
mess. So hot. But
little
then he.
Little squigglies for hair.
He like dumps his girlfriend though and goes back to Anna. And the movie's like, yeah, slam dunk. I guess. Like, he broke this girl's heart for no reason.
Yeah, there really should have been like him pushing his new girlfriend into a bush before he. goes into the church, and then the bush lights on fire,
of course.
You hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And then the wish reverses.
You hear God's voice and he goes, nom 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 nom. Thank you. She was delicious.
Yeah, he's like the puppet that lives in the garbage can, but for bushes.
Right, yeah. Oscar the Bush Grouch.
Bush.
I almost called him the Butch Grouch.
He's very nasally.
Well, he's very femme. He's not Butch at all.
Really? I guess those eyelashes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and that mouth. What'd that mouth do, Oscar? Ooh, tried to get a spit take out of him. Couldn't do it.
No. My throat feels like piss right now.
Ooh, well, eat pee.
That's what I'm trying to spread.
Anna, what?
Have we seen a burning bush in a movie yet? I can't say burning bush.
I don't think so. Not yet. But when we watched, like, the Ten Commandments, oh my God, why haven't we watched, like, the Charlton Heston Ten Commandments movie? We're definitely going to do that at some point.
Yeah, let's do that on a very special day someday.
January 1st, yeah.
6th.
Oh, January. There we go. The most specialist day there is.
Well, the first is just bullcrap. Everybody's hungover. And
yeah, that's true.
Narcissistic.
Well, that's true. So yeah, Anna just like makes an impassioned speech at the ball, being like, you know what? Screw all this Christmas crap. Let's love God. And then everyone goes, all right, yeah. Let's screw this ball. Let's go to church in our ball gowns. Sure.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then the movie ends.
Like, I love that she shows up at church alone because nobody followed her at that point. Bill, she's there with nobody. Bill Engvall is there. And she just goes, I'm going to sit by myself.
Yeah, her friends come in, see that she's alone.
Sit
still
behind her.
Sit with her. That's not where you sit
no.
during church.
This is my seat. This one? What does my seat
my
say? Hashtag wish for Christmas, all right?
Yeah. What do they call those seats in church?
Hashtags. Pews.
Oh, yeah. Dude, where's my pews?
Pews, where's my car?
Pubes, where are my car?
Why don't they just call them pubes? Hey, Steve, what did you think of 2016's Wish for Christmas?
I am so glad that we're on the Pureflix train. I am so glad that we're finally seeing movies with church and God and homeless Bill Engvall, and I'd have to give this one 2 stars.
Beautiful.
Now, Adam Creep, what did you think of Wish for Christmas?
Well, Steve Creep, I loved it. And I loved it even more knowing that it is just a body swap movie with just like identity being swapped and not like consciousness. And I love that Mary was 13. So I give this movie 13 virgins out of 13.
Hey,
this is the episode that's going to come out right before Christmas, so I just want to say Merry Christmas, Chiz.
And a Happy New Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
We love you.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
I'm Chiz Chizum. I'm Chiz Chizum. I'm Chiz Chizum.
That's great.
I'm Chiz Chizum. I'm Chiz Chizum.
Oh, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
That's great.
You know, I just realized the irony that, like, our Christmas Chiz theme song features Santa Claus so prevalently in it.
Why is it irony?
Because Santa Claus isn't real. God and Jesus is real.
Isn't God Christmas?